All right. 6 o'clock, as my son so graciously has been reminding us with his microphone. I love you, son. Ah, it's good to see you guys here today. Well, you guys ready? All right, well, let's open with a word of prayer and we'll dive back in. Genesis 27 today. All right. Father God, Lord, we praise you today. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful blessing and just gifting us with your spirit. Lord, we pray that as we seek your word and your face, that you help us to fall in love with the scriptures more and more. Lord, as we take our time going through this, Lord, that we just meditate on these words and so they may not fall from our lips, but we put them in our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Well, last week, we were at the beginning of 27, and we talked about some Eden-like narratives, didn't we? Where some like fall-like narratives, where we have a man who's willing to transfer his... Who wants to give his blessing away for something in his mouth, and a deceiver who acts like the snake from the very time he was born, comes in and steals someone else's blessing. And so we have like this kind of, and they're doing it very possibly because they think that's how it's supposed to be done, because they feel like it's just like Adam and Eve, just like Abraham and Sarah with Hagar. This is how God's going to bless them. And we find out this is not the way they're supposed to do it. But so we had a Genesis chapter 3 kind of narrative happening last time with twist. But we've seen this pattern over and over again as we repeat Genesis 1 through 9 over and over again. So if we had a Genesis 3 narrative last time, what should we expect this week? Genesis 4, which is the brothers split and they go into exile. Remember, Genesis chapter 4 is the Cain and Abel story, and then the exile and being cast out into the east. And that's what we expect. So if we're following the same pattern, if we expect to see the same pattern, because we've been following this over and over again, we keep seeing the same pattern over again. So if we expect that, we should see an exile and some splitting of the family, and that's exactly what we do see. Yes, it looks different. Yes, it has the twists to it, but it's exactly that. This is really the climax point here, the double deception. Now it appears that now Jacob appears to be walking away with the blessing, the deception plan that he and his mother orchestrated, it worked. You know, the author here, he doesn't stop and say, hey, dear reader, what Yaakov did, remember Yaakov is the Hebrew way to pronounce Jacob, Yaakov, what Yaakov did and did to his dad and his brother, that was bad in the eyes of the Lord. The Bible doesn't say that. But the narrative kind of lets it fall out in front of you what happens, and you're left to ponder and evaluate for yourself what we think about these characters, what their end results are, how we're going to see them split and fall apart and go into a 20-year exile. And so we can see that this is probably not something that's like, oh, this was a good move. But it doesn't strictly say this was bad. And we know, but the Bible doesn't need to say that every time. Yes, sometimes it says they did wrong in the eyes of the Lord. But a lot of times they let us use our wisdom as the story is being developed to say, hey, this is not a good behavior. All right, so we're going to read Genesis 27. starting in verse 41. And we're going to read just a few verses, and then we're going to stop and talk about it. And then we're going to continue on with Genesis 27:46-28:9. This is another good example of the people that, because, you know, the original Hebrew Bible did not have verses and chapters. And this is another good example that sometimes they do, most of the time they do a fantastic job. And sometimes you're like, why in the world did you split it there? you know, there's an old legend that he did it on the back of a camel. was it true or not? Who knows? That kind of stuff goes on. but the original language does not have verses. That's all stuff we've added on, so that we can find stuff, which makes sense, right? We need to be able to find where things are at, especially since we stopped the scroll method, right? Where you and now a lot of your Bibles even have like title headings, and like this is this section and this is this section. None of that was in the original. That's all commentary laid out earlier. All right, so Genesis 27:41. Esau held a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing his father had given him. And Esau determined in his heart, the days of mourning my father are approaching. Then I will kill my brother, Yaakov. When the word of the older son Esau were reported to Rebekah, she summoned her younger son, Yaakov, and said to him, listen, Shema, your brother Esau is consoling himself by planning to kill you. So now, my son, listen to me and flee at once to my brother Laban in Haran, and stay with him for a few days until your brother's anger subsides, until your brother's rage turns away from you and he forgets what you have done to him. Then I will send you back and bring you back from there. Why should I lose you both in one day? So, Esau, now this translation, held a grudge against Yaakov. Now this is a great translation, captures meaning, not literal. The literal would be Esau became opposed to Yaakov, which seems like a natural response, you know. You want to guess what word that is? Opposed? You want to guess? I've used it a few times in here. Satam, which is a word taken. Satam is a little dialect variation of the word Satan. Satan. And this is not like, this was Satan speaking. This is the word opposed. Satan is a title. It means adversary or opposition. Satan is underneath it. So Esau becomes a Satan to Jacob. He becomes hostile to him. So very interesting. He becomes a Satan. It's interesting how that word gets used throughout the scriptures. A lot of times our scriptures, we just say, oh, only when it's the Satan do we still use it, but it's throughout the scriptures. Anyone who's in opposition, like this one, I mean, we can understand Esau's point of view, right? He just stole his blessing, took off with his inheritance, everything. Esau gets an anti-blessing, right? Well, you're going to have to run off and be like Ishmael. But you're going to break out of his slavery eventually, which we don't see until like 2 Kings, right? So it's like, it makes sense. It'd be an opposite. I mean, we might be a little bitter in opposition too. So he says, well, you're in opposition. Why? Because of that blessing. And he says, the days of my mourning for the father are approaching. So I'm going, my father's going to die. I know he's going to die, but I'm going to wait till after, because someone dies, and then you have a period of mourning. And after that period of mourning is over, I'm going to kill off my brother. That's how this is happening. He's got that bitter going on. He's got that rage. If we're in that Genesis chapter 4 mindset that we're kind of in, we kind of see that sin is crouching at your door. You can conquer it. You don't have to kill your brother. Cain and Abel did. You know, Cain killed Abel. Will Esau now kill Yaakov? It's that same pattern. Same kind of thoughts going on. And he's consoling himself. He's making himself feel better by knowing that he's going to kill his brother soon. I'm going to wipe him out. The younger one has gotten the blessing. He's got privilege of the firstborn. And so now he's just, I'm going to, and now this is reported to Rivka. She hears about it. And she, well, it literally says, the words of Esau, her son, the greater one. How does, so, so she sent, and so however she's hearing about it, you know, is he talking about it? Is he planning? Is he just seeing his heart? You know, a little puzzle there. But anyway, however she hears about it, maybe he was sitting there talking to it about his dad. You know what? I'm going to kill him. I'm going to wait till you die, Dad, so you don't have to do this, but after you're dead, Dad. Maybe he's doing it all while they're sitting there talking. I don't know. But anyways, so she sent and calls for Yaakov, her son, and the smaller one, and says, he's trying to console himself, and he's going to murder you. So listen to my voice, is what he said. What she says, listen to my voice. Now, she said that to him once before, hasn't she? Listen to my voice. How'd that go? This hasn't gone very well for him. He stole the blessing when he said, trust me, listen to my voice. That scheming. He got a blessing. Her scheming worked. But now he has to run. So he's going to listen to her voice. Listen to my voice. Get up, flee. And this is kind of like exile yourself. Send yourself into exile. So if you think of Cain and Abel, Cain's the angry one. So there's an inversion here. Cain's the angry one. He murders her brother. Then he goes into exile. This one, Esau's the angry one. And Jacob goes into exile. So there's like an inversion. We always see the same. We see these same patterns, but there's always these little twists that make us go, like, what's going on here? Ponder it, meditate on it. How does this one play into the other? It's swapped. The younger who gets the favor now is exiled. And it's a good twist. So flee from yourself and go to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and I will dwell with him. And dwell with him. You know, what does it say there? How many days? Like, a few days. Just a few days. He's going to calm down in a few days. This, we know the story, right? We've already read ahead. If you haven't, I'm going to assume you did. So, It meant more than a few days here. But just a few days. He'll calm down. He'll forget what you've done to him. Why should I lose the two of you in one day? So Rivka's going to send her beloved son. She's going to lose him for 20 years. Does she ever send for him? No, she doesn't send for him. She never gets to send for him. Turn just a few days and I will send for you, she says. Listen to my voice. I will send for you. She's going to die before he ever comes back. She will never see her son again. This scheming and this lying and these deceits, whether they thought they were doing God's will or not, this is definitely not the way that it was supposed to go down. That's interesting. Yeah. He does. But we're told, like, right there, like he said earlier, before when we first started 27, right? He says, like, my eyes are getting dim. I'm about to die. Like, that's why he's passing it on. He's like, I'm about to die. He outlives his wife. That's kind of crazy, huh? She thought he's going to die. He thought he was going to die. That is, yeah, I mean. You know, we can build up bitterness and rage over years, or it can become less. People have gone both ways. When we see Esau again, which we will see him again, we'll have to face that. That will be, and when we finally get there, that will be the question as he sends it. Remember, we're jumping way ahead here. He'll send his wife and his family and everyone else ahead of him across the river as he fixes to meet his brother, not knowing, did he become more bitter over the time or did his anger lessen? And we're going to have to face that challenge right there. Now, we've read the story, so we know he lets him live. But that's the question that's going to be building. So you're right on with that. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he very well, at that very time, it very well may have been a real threat. He needed to flee. But this is consequences of... Now, and this is interesting. Remember, she said last chapter, she said, I'm going to lie to my father. And she says, I'll take the curse upon myself. So the consequence of that curse is that she now loses her son. And he has to go away. Well... doesn't matter. God did. God did. Yeah. Well, it did. Well, she probably didn't think Isaac was going to live that longer, and so it wouldn't really matter. So he says, I don't want to lose my son. That's what she says. And yet that's exactly what she's setting in motion right here, that she's going to lose her son. Well, both of you, it's a good argument. Is she talking about the brother or the father? That's a good argument. People have taken it both ways as to which both you are. I've read different commentaries on both of them. Some of them say, well, it's the father because he's about to die. And some of them say, no, Esau is so angry and he knows that Rebekah helped Jacob that he is now going to disown her. So, or another way you could take it is if he actually kills his brother, then he's going to have to be killed as punishment. Life for life, eye for an eye. That was some of the, yeah, that depends on where you're at, but yeah, that's part of the rules back then. So, yeah. It's a, yeah, they're a deceitful family, aren't they? Absolutely. Probably to spare him the heartache. Why he waited, just spare him the heartache. Maybe. Maybe not. Don't know. That would be just speculation on my part. So, nope. I figure it has something to do with I'm waiting. Like, I want to wait till the morning is over, and then I want to console myself in our anger, like in the bitterness. We wait till the bitterness has reached its climax. So, as I'm thinking here about this story, I think it's hard not to also think of Abraham and Yitzhak going up on Mount Moriah. Yaakov is going to have to wave goodbye to his beloved, his two beloved sons, Joseph and Benjamin, eventually, and they're going to. So, Reuben has two other sons. This is a whole theme throughout Genesis, the giving up of the beloved son up to death. This is going to be a theme that's. Giving up the son, the beloved son. It's a whole theme here.
It's interesting that Esau and Jacob, one was kind of in the same thing with Laban's sister, daughters. One went along with the marriage, and yet didn't marry the other one. The oldest is first. So
we will get there. You hang on to those thoughts. It's going to be probably about
two
more weeks, but we will get there, okay? You hang on to that. So Jacob just got the blessing, but now he's exiled, which is the same as the non-blessing. He was said he was going to be, the blessing was you'll be mighty, nations will be your servants, and he's about to go for 20 years. He's going to be a Laban servant. In fact, that's what he says, because he's supposed to like have all this wealth because he got the blessing, right? And as he shows up at Laban, he's actually going to say, all I came with was the cloak on my back and the staff in my hand. So he gave up everything. Got the blessing and gave it all up because he had to go into exile because of this deceit. Pretty fun, huh? Um, all this language here is dipping into two moments. When Esau cries out with a great cry, the last time that we hear anything about crying or making a great was the innocent blood of Abel rising up, and God says, "Your brother's blood is crying out against you." That's the last time we had that kind of crying up. So it was right after Cain's murder, and this is the exact same language. So Esau is about to murder his brother, and it's that same language. And so what you're seeing on the chart here, and you can see it closer in the notes, of course, which are found in the app, Fill In Notes. If you go to the app, I'll go to Fill In Notes, you can see how this relates to Genesis chapter 27 to Genesis chapter with the Cain and Abel story, and Yahweh crying out in Genesis chapter 6, which Genesis chapter 6 is the what story? Flood story. There you go. So it's the language of crying out to one, you know, God, the language of consoling yourself. That's exactly what God does before the flood. You know, God notices that the purpose of human's heart is raw. Remember that word raw? All evil or bad. It's bad all the time, and Yahweh had to comfort himself. And he made the humans on the land, and it's the same word, Noah's name, Nacham. And the pain in his heart, and I'm going to send a flood. So that's what he says Noah is. He's the end. Noah is the end. The word for end is spelled with three of the four letters for outcry. Tzak and Chet is the word end. And so we have this play on word here. In the Hebrew, lots of play on words in the Hebrew. Don't you love that? Isn't it sad we miss all that in the English? We miss all the play on words. Some Bible translations try to do a good job with this. I've noticed things like the NIV does at least attempts to make good choices on these ones, even though they're not always literal. They try to play with, capture some of the play on words. So we're seeing the anger here is kind of like God's anger, cry out. So we're seeing this kind of repeat in these themes. And we're going to wave goodbye to Esau here for a long time. For Jacob's 20 years in exile, Esau is nowhere in the story. We meet him again after Jacob gets out of exile. But interesting enough, the moment he appears again is riddled with flood language again. The moment that Esau appears again, we're going to see more, it's going to be riddled with flood language. So Esau is painted as both Cain and as like God in the flood story. So as we're meditating on this, why would the author choose this language to paint Esau with the colors of how God felt about humanity's outcry in the evil flood? It's very, you know, Esau's a very complex character. He's reacting in a way that's understandable. We sympathize with him. We also know he's wrong. But we're having this, we're having this kind of complexity to this. And so when we're thinking through the melody, We have to think about deception and setting someone up for blessing, which Isaac was set up for blessing through deception. He inherits the blessings from his father, and he plays the deceiver. That goes poorly, but eventually he reconciles with Abimelech and the nations, and they come to peace. And so this is, through this whole long story, we've seen this deception leads to civil rivalry and escalates into crisis until an outcry rises up, and you have to console oneself. And then you'll get a moment of rest. So that's what's happening next. Where we expect this, we're walking through the sequence of Genesis 1 through 11. And we're going to get this cycle all over again. Let's go on. We're going to be talking about taking the wrong wives. Yeah. I heard that. He meant the first time, Myra. All right, Genesis 27, verse 46. So Rebekah said to Isaac, I am sick of my life because of these Hittite girls. If Yaakov marries someone from around here, these Hittite girls, what good is my life? That's pretty intense. So Isaac summoned Yaakov and blessed him and commanded him, do not marry a Canaanite girl. Go at once to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father. Marry one of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you so that you become an assembly of peoples. May God give you and your offspring the blessing of Abraham so that you may possess the land where you live as a foreigner, the land God gave to Abraham. So Isaac sent Yaakov to Padan Aram to Laban, son of Bethuel, the Armenian, the brother of Rephkah, and the mother of Jacob of Esau. Esau noticed that Isaac blessed Yaakov and sent him to Padan Aram to get a wife there. When he blessed him, Isaac commanded Yaakov, do not marry a Canaanite girl. And Jacob listened to his father and mother went to Padan Aram. Esau realized that his father Isaac disapproved of the Canaanite women. So Esau went to Ishmael and married, in addition to his other wives, Mahalath, let's say that one 10 times fast, daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, and she was the sister of Naboth. There you go. And you're putting some things together, aren't you, over there? So he said, totally, Rivka said, flee for your life, right? But there's got to be a reason. We can't just, you can't just flee. There has to be something going on. You have to have permission. That's the way things work back then. So she says, Rivka says to Yasek, She goes to her husband with a, we could call it a deceitful plan. Because she's lying to him once again. She's a catch. She was seen as the Abraham character. After Abraham dies, and like she goes through the fits the same pattern as Abraham does. She leaves her mother and father and goes to a land she doesn't know. I mean, it's the. But Abraham behaved like this too, didn't he? Yeah, very many times. But you know, they're not very good at communicating each other, at least very honestly with each other. So she says, I don't know why this is running so slow. That computer is running slow today. So she says Rivka says to Yasek, you know, I hate my life because of those, you know, I just might as well die. Just hate those, I hate my life because of those Hittite. I know it's Hethite, but it's the Hittites. And if you're going to read a book, like a history books, they're going to call them the Hittites. Anyways, these daughters of these Hittites. If my Jacob, you know, my favorite son, marries one of those Canaanite Hittites, I might as well just die. That's pretty dramatic. But Isaac called Jacob and blesses him. Wait, hasn't he already blessed him? So he gets a double blessing for all those deceits. You will not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan, but go up to Padan Aram. Now, I know this that says Jacob's return home, but it's the same, like whether he goes up or down. So it was a good map. So don't worry about this. We'll get there. This is the direction he's heading. So they're over here in the Shechem area, and now he's got to go up to Haran. So that's Padan Aram, is this area right here. You can actually even see it on the map right there, Padan Aram. So that's, wait, we've already seen that area, haven't we? What's in that area? Well, that's where Rivka was from. But that's also where Abraham left from after they traveled from the area all the way over here. They went up and then down. Get up and go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, the father of your mother. Find yourself there a wife from the daughters of Laban. You know, your uncle, the brother of your mother, and El Shaddai. That's what the word is. El Shaddai, may he bless you. May he make you fruitful. May he bless you. May you become an assembly of peoples. May he give you the blessing of Avraham to your seed so that you can come back here and possess the land of your migration, which Elohim has given to Avram. So he sends up from the city he came down, the city of Haran, place of Bethuel. So this sets up another, Abraham 2.0? Go back there, and then you're going to have to come back eventually. So it'll be like Abraham, like, okay, we're going to send you back into exile. Then you're going to eventually come back here, like Abraham 2.0. So he's going to go. And Esau saw that that they didn't like Canaan, the Canaanite women he's already living with. Remember, he's already got a couple of wives. So Esau goes and he took another as his wife. So there's another blessing, and that blessing sets the brothers at odds with each other. But this time it's all about the future seed, and they want to make a promise. So they want to make sure that the promised seed stays within the immediate family. But Esau is going to marry outside the family line. What Yosef doesn't say is, don't take wives from the daughters of Canaan because you're going to end up worshiping their gods. That's where this theme is going to develop. And we're going to have that language later on in the Bible. We're going to see, hey, don't take women out from outside because they're going to bring in their false gods. But it's not explicit here on the surface. But that's exactly where it's going to end up with all these intermarrying outside the family. Yeah, that is what brought Solomon down. But Yaakov is splitting the two of the lines, and one gets a blessing and goes to exile. Esau continues his habit of picking up wives, which is just like Lamech in the book of Genesis, which we've seen as not a good character. And Yaakov is going to pick up a couple of wives himself, but he's going to do that for other reasons. But that's how the story of the brothers leave. Like, that's how they separate. One's in exile, and one is off to live with Ishmael, because that non-blessing put him just like Ishmael. You're going to be a wild donkey of a man. You're going to be a wanderer. You're going to be a... And he's going to marry, and that's how Ishmael and the Edomites become attached. So. All right, any questions about all that? All right, I want to stop here tonight because I am not covering what happens next in 15 minutes. In fact, we may take two weeks to talk about what happens next, because it's Jacob's Ladder story is next. And that's going to take me some time to get through. We are not doing it in 15 minutes. We're going to stop here tonight. But do we have any questions? Yeah. When you have favoritism that happens, one parent loves another one, and yeah. The curse of the father, but it also says the blessing. So. They sure are. This is learned behavior. It doesn't come out of nowhere. It's not like he just like, well, I'm going to be like told. This is learned behavior. All right. Very good. All right. Now, don't forget, the notes are in the app. You can read those in the app. I also, if you join the group in the app. I also send out, like, every week what we're talking about beforehand so you can be ready. I know what's going on. Everyone in here should be receiving an email. If you're not and you want to receive it, I don't know if I have about, because I'll send out an email tomorrow addressed to each one of you with, like, a recording and also some notes, a summary. If you'd like to, if you're not getting the email and you'd like to receive the email, make sure I have your email. So I can make sure you're added to the list. So that that will be happening. So I'll get that out tomorrow as well. So, but I've been doing that. Some of you guys really have enjoyed that. So, do I have your email? Do you check your email? It's always the big question. Do I have your email and do you check your email? Because if those two things don't happen, then you're not going to get it. all right. Next week is, what's the date for next week? 18th? 18th? All right. I don't have anything going on the 18th. So I'll see you guys next week with this, and we'll be in Jacob's Ladder. Or actually, I'm going to change your name. I'll change the name of that for everyone. Kind of just how you guys see that. Some of you are like, I already know where I'm going to go with this. But all right, let's pray and be dismissed. Father God, Lord, we praise you today. Lord, we thank you for your word, Lord. We pray that we may learn from the wisdom that you have laid out in the scriptures here as we meditate on them, that we choose not what is tov and ra, but we let you decide what is tov and ra, what is good and bad, and we let you decide that, and we learn from the wisdom you have laid out for us. As we meditate, mutter on these words, bless us and focus us in to hear what you'd have us to hear. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, write that.